Okay, good morning, everybody. We're going to continue, hopefully finish the topic of Nat Bar Nat and Devar Harif, No Saint Tam Bar No Saint Tam. And we're going to see the Yaakov Yosef, which is on 168, number 34. He's going to bring halacha, something that we already saw yesterday, and that is when you have your Devar Harif, and you're going to cut it with a knife. If it's Ben Yoma knife, no, did it with dairy, with milk eggs, and until when? Ajiyuto mimakam hachasach kadei netilas makam. If the cut away, you know, an inch of the contact point, if you want to be able to eat that radish with milk eggs. So it is meaning, as not surprising, the Yaakov Yosef is going to hold, like we saw in the Shulchan Aruch, not like the Rama, who says it's asur kula. Okay, fine. That was from yesterday. Now, I'm sure you've heard this very strange thing. You ever heard like people who take knives and like shove them into the ground? They have like a knife forest or a knife garden. Or like, oh yeah, you know how to kasher knives or whatever or utensils, just like throw them in the ground. And you know, sometimes they have like pots in their kitchen with like silverware in them. So maybe not you guys, and maybe not your parents, but definitely your grandparents' generation. This was like, I don't know, this was like a thing. So this is what it's based on and probably not used properly at all. Then it just became like overused in ways that it was never intended and should not be intended to use. But this is the source. So that's the Shulchan Aruch 35. Sakin Yashar. It doesn't matter if it's large or small. Ben Gadol Ben Katan. And you get it from Chris. I don't know. You go to the local market and you buy a knife. You like the knife. You buy the knife off of Chris. If you're going to use it just for cold food, right? Because if it's for hot food, then you need tagala. But if it's for cold food, tagala, I got to put into a kashering pot, a boiling pot that's on the fire. But if you're going to use it for cold, here's your brother. Hey, David, how you doing? Hey, David, welcome. We were very worried about you. We're glad
Good morning. Sorry about that.
It happens.
I was just dominating. Sorry.
Listen. You had extra kavana. I understand. It's, you know, it's the first Thursday in Tammuz. So you're, I think 2 weeks. Today's the fast day, I guess. So
exactly.
I lost my train of thought. By the way, we're 168.35. Therefore, so says the Shulchan Aruch, what happens if there are no holes in your knife, if your knife that you want to use for cold that you got from Chris? What do you do? He says, you can do, listen to this. You can take the knife and you can pierce it into the ground, into the tough soil. Soil. That's the, see, we talk about soil. This is for Yoel. Right? The gardening job that he has, that you have to take it 10 times and pierce this knife 10 times into the ground. What's the concept behind it? I guess because the pressure, the pressure of the knife going into the ground will remove whatever the content of the knife, the chazarai from the knife. It has to be in tough soil. But you can't put it in the same place twice because the earth that you put it in is loosened. So you have to find 10 separate places in the ground. And if you want, by the way, you want to then cut, dvar charif, you want to cut a kosher, you know, onion for your cholent, no problem. Once you've done it 10 times. Says the Rama, V'yeshomrim, Deha shechazem hani rak lachtoch ba tonet. Fol inyan chamim, hachina l'chatchila. He says, you know, this is a great idea if you want to cut, let's say, Devar Harif, which is cold. If you want to really cut something which is hot, you want to cut, hot meat? No, you cannot kasher a knife with 10 pierces in the ground, if you're going to use a knife, the kasher kami. It's going to cut vegetables, for sure it's okay, it's cold. What about even the varchariv? Fine, 10 pierces is enough. It's sufficient. But no way, Jose, could you then use it to cut hot meat. If you want to use a tray for knife, a kasher, not 10 times in the ground, but a gala. So my friends, this is it. All these people you might have heard of using knives and putting them in plants or anything, the only thing that you need, it's good for, is A, good 10 times, B, if the ground is hard, and C, it's really only used, especially for Ashkenazim, for cold food. Maybe the Racharif, but just cold food. Says Rav El Yashiv in 169:36, he says, listen, not so simple. I have a better solution. The the Gemara of Yashiv Zal. Now they had to end that Zal because when he originally quoted him, he was alive. When they talk about 10 piercings, it's like in this medium type of a soil. I don't know anything about soil. If I'm talking about soil, I'll speak to Yo. Last year you could have talked to David, but now he doesn't know anything about soil anymore. And 10 times in the ground, you have to know the type of ground. If it's too soft, meaning if it rained, then that doesn't help because there's no pressure against the knife. If it's too hard, well, the knife really isn't going to go in very well. You have to find the right soil, kind of like a little bit of riding hood, right? Not too hot, not too cold. And he says, "Vein anu yodim es ashir." Come on, says Rav Yashiv. We don't know how a medium soil. What do we know? So he has another suggestion. Okay, she's talking to itza. If you just need an itza, yesh le nakosa sasaki native. Very simple. Excuse me, wash the knife properly. The last of the roskin, pour hot water over it. And then he says that's sufficient. So you don't have to do hagala. Just pour hot water over it and wash it well. Okay, not that practical, because like who's going to get a knife that they're just going to use for cold? Not that practical, but I guess in theory, if it's, could be a kula in the industry of, vegetable chopping, how you're going to deal with your vegetable knife. They're great, you have a chashev vegetable knife. You don't want to do a gala, maybe it'll ruin it. And you're just using it for vegetables. This could be a very good solution. Let's say it's a very good knife. Either maybe got trafed up, or what's it called? Sometimes non-Jews know much more about knives than we do. And so you want to use this knife. Not that.
May I ask a question, please?
Yeah, Rivka, go ahead.
So, can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Okay, thank God. My first question is, about like sticking the knife into the ground, if that's because of intense pressure on both sides of the knife, would a modern day knife sharpener do the same thing?
This actually has come up. I've heard this question before. And I think here's the problem with a modern sharpener. I think does a modern sharpener sharpen the entire length of the knife? Or is it only a part of the knife? Can you answer that, Rifka? Do you know?
Sure, but I would imagine it sharpens all the points of contact that like actually do the pressure part.
Pressure part. So the other question is, does it do enough? Does it do it fully? I mean, does it engulf the entire blade and impact the entire blade, or just the sharpened side? I mean, just like a little bit of, the first few centimeters. So I think that's the, I think that was like the debate that I recall. I think if it is a good sharpener, if it's a good knife sharpener, that actually does a very good job and it removes it. I think it can, but I have to double check. I do recall this question from somewhere. It's a good question. It's a very good question. So I think for now, I don't see why, especially since if it's going to accomplish the same thing as putting to the ground, it might even be better than putting to the ground, right? It's electrical or whatever it is. Electrical, but yeah. So I guess in theory it could do a good job if it really is a good quality one that's sufficient. And that's for now is what we can argue.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's continue. Let's say I now eat this knife. Eat this onion. I eat the onion that was cut with a fleshik knife. And I want to have milchitz afterwards. Can I do that? Or do I have to wait 6 hours? Meaning, if by eating a onion, which was cut by a fleshik knife, do we say that I'm fleshiks? Or like, how far do we go with this? So says the Ramah, miu im ink basar batavsh. There's no meat in this dish. I'm just eating, I don't know, this onions, whatever, right? Rakshin basar bakderish basar. I was cooked with meat. Morto lo'ochel rav gvina. No problem. It doesn't really say you're fleshik. Your onion's fleshik. It doesn't mean your onion is mamish fleshik. Okay? And this is a very important distinction. Fine. And that's, and Rabbi Kiva Eger and his Agos and the Shach are actually going to say the same thing. The Sefer Kash in 39 is going to say the same thing as well. That it is, that those are machmer, he's going to argue, I believe the machmer shita is the shach, if I'm not mistaken. The machmer shita is the shach, but we don't paskin that way, and there's definitely room to be lenient. And that's the end of 39. Rav Moshe Sternbach writes in his Chuvos and Hagos, says in number 40, here we go. He says, I just want to make sure I'm watching the clock. I gotta make sure I finish the section. I don't wanna leave this over for next week. He says, and he recommends, it's quite practical, get your own knife. Use knives for fleshiks, knives for parv, and knives for milchiks. He says it is much easier in the kitchen. Okay, next. The other thing is, and this is a bit of a fascinating topic as well, 171, what happens if I cut, are you ready for this? A knife, I cut an onion, a fleshik knife on a milchik cutting board. You follow? Meat knife, dairy cutting board. Or a parv knife on a fleshik cutting board. Does the cutting board, because remember, if my duchta de sakina pierces through the onion and hits, whacks that cutting board, does that have an impact at all? I mean, it has an impact. Huh? Does it impact the taste at all? That is the next topic, 171. Does the cutting surface affect the status of Devar Harif? Listen to this. Chochmas Adam, 141. Nireh li'edim chatach alav ha'areneg v'oboy v'ha'un riske v'ha, I don't know how to pronounce that. Chamutzim. Basically, what do? You cut Shmaltz herring, right? This is what this is. Shmaltz herring. Amazing. I miss Shmaltz herring. I've not had Shmaltz herring since this pandemic. It's time for Shmaltz herring. Afilu b'di'evet aser. Wow. Why? So what did you do? So, if you were to cut, his case though is treif, meaning his case is referring to a situation where you are cutting the herring you're cutting it with a cold knife and the food is cold onto a treif cutting board. Why? The duchta de sakina, because these two combinations, the pressure of the knife and churfa de melech, and this harifus and this very sharp taste of the salt, that's why the example was shmaltz herring. I have to say that where the location that you cut, that you severed, and the knife went through it, hits this treif cutting board, that had an impact. Come on, that's not pressure. Pressure means I exert all my pressure through it. This is just a whack at the end. That's not a full pressure. Therefore, he says you should be machmir. People try to correct me. I don't believe it right. Is that the halacha? That's a very machmir. Chachmas Adam. Right? Very machmir chachmas Adam. So what it's saying, very simple. Wow. Is that the halacha? Let's take a look. 42. Yish machronim. Shekatsav. I'm going to 42 11. Yish machronim. There's pressure not just for the knife, but also the cutting board. The plate that's underneath it. And that there's pressure. He's referring to, of course, the Chachos Adam. Shaharei al yedei chiduch nitcha kamachal harif atzlachas, da, 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 da. And what does he say? He says, in 12, lefrechach ra'oi l'hakbid, you should be machmir. Fleshik knife, fleshik cutting board, milchik knife, milchik cutting board, keep it all the same. That's what he says. That's what you should do. Okay? However, b'di'eved, we'll go to b'di'eved, which is 13. B'di'eved, im nechtach b'sakim b'sari, you cut your onion with a fleshik knife, al talachas chalavis, on a milchik, we'll call this cutting board, although the case here is, cutting board, fine. Tas gedole hara ala hakel. The great sages are lenient days. Good. She'im nasur ta kelim. I can't ask for the kelim food. She'im b'nei yomim. Even if you just use your talachas or cutting board for milchik, hot dairy earlier, even your knife used for flesh earlier, come on, I can't say you're machir. Fine. Okay, and if it's parve, it's not going to affect its status either. The parve knife will remain parve even if your onion was cut on a flesh of cutting board. Okay, fine. If you want to take a look at this hara at the bottom here, he says that he heard from Rav Yashiv that you should be choshev chacham sadam, but yeved, you do not need to. Okay, again, I'm pretty sure this is pretty standard in Jewish homes, in kosher homes. Keep everything the same. Both the knife and the cutting board should be of the same species. Okay, we're going to read. He's one of my favorites, and we're going to end with this. How much time do we have left? 7 minutes. We have Rabbi Chaim Jacht, for those of you who know who he is. He's an Abbe's Dean in Elizabeth in New Jersey. Really a phenomenal person. Tremendous, tremendous Talmid Chacham. Wonderful guy. He's really, really, really special person. And he's a prolific writer, prolific speaker. This stuff is great. He's written a number of books. Let's read his two things in the Rechariv, other issues that come up. And he says it really well. And we'll end with this. We'll end the day with it and the topic. Amazing. Make a siyum of the Rechariv. Beautiful. As a practical rabbi, we'll attest. Questions regarding the Rechariv arise very often. The first is if an onion was cut by a clean inu binyomim milk knife and was subsequently cooked together with meat. Do we say this food is forbidden mixtures of meat and milk? Or five al Cohen, a contemporary halachic authority, Fava Cohen is a very special guy, an opportunity actually to meet him. Cites two opinions regarding this issue. Two great achronim, it's an 18th century Chachmas Adam, Prima Gadim, ruled that this food constitutes a forbidden mixture of milk and meat, has to be discarded. However, the Beis Meir rules, Beis Meir is also well known achron, rules that three lenient opinions of the Rishonim may be combined to rule that this food is permitted. This, by the way, is a very important case. One, the opinion that only a radish has a devar harif. I'm going to explain what that means. There are those who argue, and I did mention this very quickly way back when, but I mentioned what is considered devar harif. And we saw a chalius. Remember we mentioned, we saw that, only that item. We weren't sure what that was. There are those, if you take a look, you'll notice, I don't know if you'll be able to realize it, but when they talk about devar harif, at least in the Gemara, they talk about a tznon, and that's a radish. So those who want to argue that only a tznon, we don't have to add things to our Dvar Harifleth, and therefore only a radish. And by the way, it sounds a simple type of radish. You know, we live in the modern world, there's 1,000 different radishes. It could be not all radishes are created equally. You know, it's like onions. I'm not a radish guy at all. I'm an onion guy. I love onions, right? So, but there are millions that have onions. Don't ask me to tell you what they are. I call them like, I don't know. But I can't even bother telling you what onions are, right? Small, big, large, more juicy, less juicy, more spicy, less spicy, right? They're not onions. And you're going to tell me that all onions are created equally? They're not. And so the radishes. It could be only one type of radish, the chazal radish they're talking about, right? Not always easy to extrapolate. So number one, he says, maybe it's just a radish. I'm going to add, he doesn't say this, but it means a davka, chazal radish or gemar radish, that the rule of the napar not applies even to a devar harif. It is very possible that Nap or not applies even to a Devar Harif as a and therefore since Nap or not applies to Devar Harif, therefore what? It Nap or not the Tera. Just like we had our pasta from last week, cooking a fleshik pot, the pasta, you can't tell me it's fleshik, not fleshik, just chazkat fleshik. It's not fleshik. Maybe it applies to Devar Harif, that we're not machmir that the whole thing becomes mamish fleshik. right? Like we saw, that the rule of the rabbi does not apply when the knife is in a binyamo. As we saw, remember, we saw in that second opinion, even though we're machmer, so it's Ashkenazim, nonetheless, those who say it, it's not binyamo. Therefore, one should consult the rabbi, and there's a lot of room to be made. And let me tell you, I don't get that many questions. I've dealt with this question 20 times, at least 20 times. Now what? That's coming up. These questions of Dvar Harif, these two questions, I definitely agree. I could sign off on them. Yes, I agree. I mean, that he needs my agreement. But that's a very common case. And that's why there's a lot of room to be lenient. And the onion is cut with a clean Eino Binyomo milk knife and is thrown into a fleshic pot. There's a lot of room to be lenient based on all these things. A lot of room to be mako. And the second is a food processor. Super common. Why? Because onions are often diced in food processor. So here we go. The second case is onion was cut by a meat or milk knife. So you dice it up. You throw it into a parv blender. Is a blender no longer parv? This issue is vigorously debated by the Chronim. The Magen Avraham argues that since the rule of not burn out does not apply to the Vacharif, that a parv utensil that cut the onion becomes meaty, then Evan Hauser disagrees. He asserts that the parv utensil that cut an onion subsequently to its being cut with a meat knife remains parv because it's not barnat. The Dvar Harif itself is an exception to the rule of not barnat, but not a utensil that absorbs meat or milk taste. For five according to the Shulchan rules, in the case of need, you could run leniently in light of the fact that some Rishonim believe that the rule of not barnat applies even to the Dvar Harif itself. And therefore, in the event the onion was cut with a fleshik or milchik knife and you toss it into the food processor, you use the word blender, but the same thing, you could then argue that your food processor is still parv. To get a new food processor, you know, he's using the term blender. A blender is, you know, $30-$40. A food processor can be $400-$500. Go replace your blades. It can be very, very expensive. You do not want to have to replace your blades these food processors. It can be expensive, so there's definitely room to be lenient, as he seems to suggest here, and there's definitely room to be lenient. Okay, let's stop there for today, everybody. Shkoyach, wonderful, amazing, 6:59, 7 o'clock. If there's any questions, I'm happy to take them. In the next two pages, which we're not going to do, is a great summary of really the entire week. Amazing. We did the entire week of not for not. When it comes to and its combination with Dvar Harif and Duchta de Sakina, very practical, very important cases. Our next topic that we're going to jump to is a great topic, really a lot of fun. It's called kosher fish, meat, and the Galat Chalak controversy. Galat and non-galat meat, liver, and preparing kosher fish. So, okay.
We don't do that gonna, yourself. Is that going to have to do with, what constitutes kosher, like raw fish, let's say, like at like a restaurant? Let's say if someone will go to a sushi place, are you gonna like cover that kind of thing?
Those things will come up, and it will even touch on, I know someone mentioned it, they asked a question about kosher organizations. So this will also deal with kosher organizations and different standards and definitions. So that would also give us a good opportunity to talk about a few things as well. So stay tuned. Okay. You got to tune in next week. Have a great week. Shvach, everybody. Beautiful, beautiful week of learning. Great to see everybody, or at least hear the voices or see your names on the screen. Shabbat shalom. Have a great Shabbos, and I'll see you Tuesday morning.
See you, Rabbi. Have a good day.
Not in Thornhill. Bye-bye.